I think that we would be lucky if our next guest, James Hinchcliffe, IndyCar driver, was our Uber driver or our Lyft driver. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm really well. I think I would just feel really safe if I got in your car. Like, I think it might be a little bit aggressive. Like, do you drive aggressively on just the roads day to day, or are you more pragmatic and you take that opportunity to not be in such a racing mentality?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, driving on the road scares me. So I'd much rather drive aggressively on the racetrack.
You ever been pulled over?
You know, I mean, certainly I've been pulled over, but it's been a while, knock on wood. I haven't actually been pulled over or had a ticket in quite some time.
Never been recognized, though.
No, I haven't been pulled over since I would have been recognized, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Right. Since your stock really blew up.
Yeah, you're famous. I get it.
Yeah, you could always pull the, hey, do you know who I am kind of thing.
Don't ever pull that, James, please. Yeah.
I would never say that. I even remember, so here's a funny story. When I started doing my driving lessons, right, I used the same instructor that my brother had, who's 3 years older than I am. And by that point, I've been racing go-karts for a number of years, was just transitioning into racing cars. And I was definitely not going to let my driving instructor know that was what I did. I just, you know, wanted to be like any other first-time driver or whatever, and I get into the car for my first lesson, and he looks over me, he looks back at the house, and he was like, is your brother Chris? I'm like, yeah, you taught him a couple of years ago. He goes, are you the race car driver? I'm like, no, this isn't going to go well.
No, now you're on high alert. You got to be following every rule to a T. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's looking a little closer, you know?
Yeah, your brother Christopher is a PhD from Oxford. I guess you decided not to follow in his footsteps and just mash gas pedals for a living, right?
Well, I mean, I tried. So he went to Mac for his undergrad and his master's. And I went to Mac for a little bit, but I didn't quite make it. So the running joke in the family is Chris had to go get a couple extra degrees to make up for my lack of one.
James, this is always such a special weekend, I'm sure, for you on the calendar. It's your home race. You've had a lot of success here lately, couple of podiums. Does the fact that your good friend Robert Wickens, he's going to be driving the parade lap in a modified car. How special is that? He said it's going to be really special for him. How special is it for you when you see him out there?
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I mean, for him to get back behind the wheel of a proper car on a proper racetrack for the first time since the accident is huge. And I know he's been looking forward to it for quite a while now. And I mean, I think the hardest part for him is going to be actually peeling off the track at the start of the race. He's going to want to just stay on and keep going with it.
Imagine that. You should tell him that. Be like, just take an extra lap, buddy. Take your time out there. No one's going to say anything to you. He really could just do as many as he wanted, honestly.
That's pretty true, actually. I don't think anybody would be upset.
Maybe just plant the seed. Just plant the seed a little bit. Listen, James, I'm really interested to find out, when you're about to go into a big race like the Honda Indy here in Toronto, July 12th to 14th, for those listening, do you have in your mind, like, yeah, I feel good. Like, I feel in really good form. I'm in a really good mental space. Or sometimes do you get in the car and you're like, okay, maybe my practice laps didn't go as well as I wanted, so I really need to, like, dig in and focus right now. Like, what's your mentality? Does it change very often from race to race?
Yeah, it certainly can. You know, I mean, I think how the team's been performing in the weeks leading up to it has a big effect on, you know, the confidence that you have as a team and the momentum that you've got. And certainly, you know, if something doesn't go right early in the weekend, you need to be able to kind of put that aside and just focus on the good stuff and look forward, not really dwell on, you know, something that may have gone wrong in practice or qualifying. Because at the end of the day, these races are so competitive. They are so unpredictable. You can start anywhere in the grid and potentially win a race here.
James, the NTT IndyCar Series is unique in open wheel racing in terms, because you guys race oval, street courses, and road courses as well. You're coming off the Road America course in Wisconsin. This track in Toronto is a little bit different than most, because everybody talks about the different surfaces you race on. You race new pavement, old pavement, concrete, but that's got to be fun for you, right? And in a challenging sort of way.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it really is one of the most challenging circuits in that sense, both for the engineers setting up the car and the drivers for driving it. But that is part of the allure of this place. It's got so much character compared to a, you know, recently freshly paved track. It does have surfaces that I'm pretty sure have been around since 86 when the race started, and, you know, up to some of the improvements they did as recently as last year. And that's kind of what makes it special, makes it unique. And there are good passing opportunities here, which you don't get at some street circuits. So between the track, the city, the fans, this is definitely a favorite on the calendar for a lot of the drivers.
I love how you categorize it as it having character. We should all be so lucky as humans when things get a little lumpy and bumpy and not as smooth. People are like, no, they're not old. They just have character. Everyone,
I think that's a really good way to look at it.
Well, yeah, that would be really nice if people were say that. So to win here at home, that would mean what to you? Would it be any different? Because I of course, as a competitor, you're always looking to get the W, but is there special implications if you are able to do it in Toronto?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, people ask a lot if there's more pressure to win here in Toronto, and the answer is honestly really no, because you put so much pressure on yourself every time you get in the car to go out and win the race, that you could be racing in Toronto or Timbuktu. It doesn't really matter. But what racing at home really does is it heightens all the feeling. So if you have a bad day, it feels a lot worse. But if you have a good day, it feels a lot better when you're at home. And even just finishing on the podium, you know, in 16 and 17, just, I mean, that was a way different podium for me than it was any other, you know, third place, just because of the energy and, you know, giving the home crowd something to cheer for. And if we were able to jump up a couple steps and be P1, I think it would just be incredible.
James, you're one of the most popular drivers, if not the most popular driver.
Just give him the title.
In IndyCar. Okay, yeah, we're giving it to you.
We're giving you the title.
You're the number one guy. So when you walk around the paddock talking about the Raptors championship, I mean, are you getting under the skin of the other guys? Because I know a lot of guys on that circuit love basketball. I mean, you must have the bragging rights, right?
No doubt. But here's the problem. Here's the only problem with that is that so many people were cheering for the Raps in that series that not a lot of them took. Everyone was like, yeah, no, we were kind of happy they won. So I don't really have, like, the good, you know, I don't have the good sticking point to give it to guys, because maybe other than the guys from Indianapolis who are, like, really big Pacers fans and just can't cheer for anyone else, but everybody else kind of wanted to see the Raptors beat the Warriors.
All right, guys, enough about the Raptors. Let's get back to
what... You're so selfish.
No, let's...
You're so selfish.
Enough about the Raptors. We have, you know, him on for a reason. So what do you think of this whole Mitch Marner saga? Do you think he's going to play on opening night?
Oh, man, that's... I'd be surprised. Let's put it that way.
100%. You have to be surprised. And you know what? You think that a lot of people are cheering for the Raptors and maybe that everyone was Team Canada in this instance, but I feel like much... fewer people are Team Maple Leaf, James.
The problem, thinking about the Raptors is there's only one in the whole country, so it unites us all. I mean, hockey, that puts the country several ways. So, yeah, it's not never going to be the same.
When it comes to hockey, it's an actual civil war up in Canada.
No, I don't understand what you're talking about. The Leafs are Canada's team. Everyone loves
okay,
them.
Okay, enough with flaming the flame.
What?
James, we really appreciate your time here. We're going to let you go. Good luck this weekend. We'll be watching and tracking everything that you do, and we wish you all the best.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you having me on.